Joining me in studio today, and I'm very pleased to have him, is my youngest son, who is a senior at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's also Paul Berry, so we call him Babe Berry. Babe, it's nice to have you with us.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
You must be excited about coming out of school here.
I am very excited. I mean, I love school, and it's been a great couple of years, but I'm excited to get into the job market, as scary as that is, and it'll be here soon.
Well, God bless you. We're looking forward to the graduation in May, folks. And Paul is here because that's really our topic today. We have a wonderful guest. Betty Lochner is chair of the College Savings Plans Network, that's CSPN, and she's in Washington for a legislative conference here. Now, you may have heard about the College Savings Plan. We hope you know about it if you have youngsters who are growing up and who will someday reach school, because the College Savings Plan is a wonderful way for you to save for their tuitions. But you may also have heard it because during the President's State of the Union address, there was an attempt to close this down. I'm not really sure what that was about, but Betty knows, and she's going to tell us, and she's going to tell us where you ought to be on this issue, and whether or not this College Savings Plan process and program is in good shape. Betty Lochner, and what a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here in your beautiful city this week.
It is a great city. It is warming up just a little bit, and I know with your legislative conference and the people, it's going to get even warmer as we go through the issues. But let me ask you, when you heard the president talk about dismantling this program, did that warm you up?
Oh yeah, it woke a lot of people up, and really he didn't really propose closing down the program, but he proposed taking away the tax exemption, which was huge because that's really the main incentive that these plans have, is that anything you put into these plans, you don't pay tax on any gain, and so it's a huge incentive for families, and taking that away would really deter people away from saving, and that's our whole mission, is to help families be aware of and save for college so that they don't have these huge student loan debts waiting for them. It's really trying to help move towards a savings model rather than a debt model. So his proposal really was very detrimental, and it truly did. In fact, we were quite surprised that how many people came forward, constituents and residents and single moms with kids that are putting money away, and it was pretty overwhelming, the response to, are you kidding me? No.
This is not going to happen.
And within 2 weeks, he took the proposal off.
But they should have known that. Come on, Betty. How come they didn't know that you can't come in there and say to parents who are putting it? And by the way, this plan is in all 50 states, or most of the 50 states. They have a college savings plan, don't they?
Right. Every state, 49 states plus the District of Columbia have savings plans. There's really two types. There's the traditional savings plan that behaves like a mutual fund where you put the money in and ups and downs of the stock market. And then there's prepaid tuition plans that are in about 12 states that are really, you put your money in and then you have a guarantee to keep up with tuition or some sort of defined benefit at the end. So yes, every state has it, and there are about 12 million accounts nationwide in these programs.
So how many people know about this?
In answering your question, I think there was kind of a misconception that these plans were being heavily used or mostly used by wealthy, and that the wealthy didn't need that tax break. I mean, that was the bottom line premise, which is totally not true. Most of these accounts, or the average account size, is just over $20,000. So that's not even a year of college, as your son probably can attest, and you too, you're probably paying the bills. It's not enough to pay for all of college. So it's really middle income, lower middle income that are using these. And I think that's where the disconnect happened.
Before we go to break, Paul, when this was announced by the press, what was the reaction on at your school with other students?
We actually had a forum to talk about it, because I know it upset a lot of students who are coming from lower income families who are a part of this saving program and who don't have all of the financial aid that they might need, because a lot of colleges are doing away with merit-based, and their need-based scholarships don't exactly cover it all. So a lot of people were very upset and very confused. And, I think hopefully that there'll be some change here to figure things out and maybe calm people down.
Yeah. All right, we're talking with Babe Berry, who's in studio with me, and our very, very illustrious guest, Betty Lochner, chair of the College Savings Plan Network in Washington for a legislative conference. When we come back, we'll talk about what she hopes to accomplish, and she'll talk about a couple of bills that may or may not be good for the plan. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest is the lady who is, well, she kind of keeps this program under wraps. She knows what's going on, the college savings program. And if you don't know about it, you should know about it, especially if you've got a kid that's in college or planning to go to college. It's a savings program with a tax incentive to you. You get exempt for the monies that you save in terms of preparing for college. Betty, you are here in Washington because of this conference, and also because of a couple of bills that have been, one was passed earlier this year by the House of Representatives, and then there's another in the Senate. Tell us, are these bills good for the College Savings Plan? Where do you come down on this?
Oh, they're absolutely good. These are bills. There's one, H.R. 529, that just passed in the House a few weeks ago, and then a companion bill, which is Senate Bill 335, that is working its way through the Senate right now. And they're bills that we've been working on for years, trying to add some flexibility and some changes. Most of these programs are, you know, 15, 20 years old, and there's clearly some more flexibility that we want in them. And as we talked earlier about when the president came out with this taking away the tax exemption, it really opened up this opportunity to get out there, and we had this awareness, so we just kind of went with the momentum, and so it's been a great session for college savings plans.
One would hope that the reason the president did this was that he was going to try to develop passion for it. I mean, somebody must have known that people were not going to sit there and say, "Oh yeah, take away the exemption, and we're still going to love things." Well, what did you make of that? Why would he have done that?
You know, I think that he, again, you know, that I think there was a misconception that these plans were for the wealthy and that they didn't need another tax break, and that was, you know, wrong. They're really for the middle income, and as your son said earlier, you know, there's not a lot of financial aid out there, and so families need to be able to save for college, and that's really what hit the chord with families.
Yeah. So the status of these, the one is passed. What about the Senate bill? What's the status of that one?
Well, we're in the process of getting co-sponsors, and that's why we're here. We're going to be spending some time on the Hill talking with supporters and gaining co-sponsors, trying to get that moving through the Senate. And really what this does is add some flexibility, add some eligible expenses that computers can be an eligible expense, which sounds odd, but right now that's not an eligible expense, mainly because these programs have been around a long time. The original, it wasn't really used to be required to have a computer, and now it's pretty much absolutely you need to.
Yeah.
The other piece is changing some old accounting rules for some being able to streamline some administrative procedures, and that's a cost saving administratively. And then also it allows for if somebody leaves school, like you have a death or an illness in your family and you have to leave school and you've already paid your tuition, right now if you've already taken that money out of your college savings plan, you cannot put it back in without having a taxable event. So it changes that too.
Okay.
So there's really three elements on it that we're working on the Hill this week about.
Now, how big is the conference? And I know I've got audience saying, okay, what can I do to make a difference here? What are you asking the public?
Well,
go ahead.
The conference is the National Association of State Treasurers, and that is the umbrella organization that College Savings Plans Network, or CSPN, is under. And so you've got just about every treasurer from every state coming and talking about legislative issues, and they're talking about everything from bond issues to college savings, to unclaimed property. They've got a lot of issues on the table. So we're doing our group is doing a section of that. We've got a couple sessions on college savings plans that we're talking with treasurers, bringing in speakers that are local here that we have access to that are on the Hill. And then then we'll be going up and doing some work directly with some key players in the budget committees and the higher ed.
These are not open to the public, though, are they? I mean, the conference is open to the public?
Yeah, it is. It's The sessions are, I mean, it's, you have to pay to go to the conference, but yeah, it's absolutely open. And at the Mandarin Hotel down there by the Jefferson Memorial. So, but a lot of the work's being done on the Hill, and going out in groups with our lobbyists.
We'll be, Betty, let me take a break. We'll be right back. Betty Lochner is my guest. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us. We are very pleased to have in studio my son, Babe Berry, who is home from college as he prepares to graduate from college at Franklin and Marshall in just a few weeks. And also joining us is Betty Lochner. She is in charge of the, she's chair, I guess I should say, of the College Savings Plan Network, and you should know about that. And Babe, you were, let's talk about trends. You mentioned that trends in college savings and what's happening and how it looks to you and your fellow students.
Sure. Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are I wouldn't say up in arms, but definitely concerned about the changing trends of less and less merit-based, need-based scholarship money. And it's getting harder and harder for people who certainly deserve to be in school to pay for it. And they're coming out with mountains and mountains of debt. So for friends and families who are interested in finding ways to pay for it in these H.R. 529 kind of saving accounts, I was just curious, where could they find the resources, the information to help them learn about these kind of things, Betty?
Well, a great way to start is on the website, which is collegesavings.org. There's information on all of the states, and there's some tutorials about how these plans work. And you've said it exactly right, is, you know, we really need to be moving towards saving and planning ahead rather than depending. We still hear a lot of families that say, oh, my kid's going to get a scholarship, or they're going to get, and that's just, there's just not a lot of resources out there anymore. And so just helping people become aware to start saving and start saving early. And I think in your generation, Babe, I mean, I think because you're coming out of school with debt, and you and your friends, that you're going to be more aware of this.
Absolutely.
So that you don't have that same thing happen for the next generation, for your kids. And I think that's what we're seeing, is a lot of, we've kind of got this generation of people that have a lot of debt coming out of school. I mean, a lot of debt. I mean, the average is around 20,000, but I know personally of kids that are coming out with $60,000 in debt with just a regular
well above
four. That's
even
not even graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, what's going? Where are we going with this? Look, we have more college student debt than we have credit card debt in
country.
That's
up to $1 trillion.
I mean, what are we doing here? We take away the incentive. Shouldn't the incentive be that if you make good grades and if you do well in college, we'll worry about paying for it? It's just the opposite. I mean, you've got to worry about paying debt, and maybe you can make good grades while you worry. What's going on? What are we doing here in this country? I don't get it.
We're raising tuition to pay for colleges is what's happening. I mean, there's the state support is eroding in every single state, and so the colleges don't have any other way to get their revenue other than to tax the students. And so that's the other, you know, crisis that's going on, is trying to turn that around to have more funding go to colleges so that we can hold these tuition, because that's one of the main keys. I mean, it's gone up several 100% over the last, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem, I mean, for young people in school, when you come out of college, you've got on your shoulders is this debt. There's no incentive. You know, I mean, if you go to work, you're going to be working for 20 years just to pay off your college debt. That's not a good
right.
thing.
Right. And sometimes that those payments can be as much as a car or even a house payment that you're saddled with. And then if you want to go on and get a master's degree or do something else, it just really
takes away those
options. And so that's what these programs nationwide are all about is really getting educated, being aware, start as soon as you can, have a plan, have some discipline, and stick to the plan. Even if you can't save a lot each month, it can make a huge difference. I know you probably, Babe, if somebody said, hey, here's $500 I've saved for you for books, I mean, you'd be like,
wow. Betty Lochner. Betty, my guest, thank you so much. Good luck in your conference here. Come back and see us again, would you please?
Yes, and thank you.
When we come back, what about your retirement? Are you ready? Are you financially fit? Is your money going to run out before your life does? Oh, we'll be right back.